may have likely begun the process, the long process of taking down the Christmas decorations, packing it away. I read how one respected Christian ministry just noted that Christmas is now past, but don't believe them. If you remember how the song goes, there's 12 days of Christmas, and we're on the seventh day. That's just seven swans swimming. And Christmas may be over according to Walmart and Hallmark, but not according to the church. We're still celebrating the birth of the Savior. Living in this Christmas season a little longer, these 12 days is a blessing that I don't think we want to skip. It allows us to pause just a little longer in the gift of Jesus dwelling here among us. We can celebrate just a bit more. In Jesus, the light of the world has come to dwell with us in this world, and that means something for us. It changes things. And this week, our scripture is the story of the wise men's long journey to visit Jesus. And we're reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I love this story for us of these men, the wise men that they were, seeing something light up, a star in the sky that they saw as a sign of the birth of a new king. And they just had to follow the star to go in search of this newborn king. And who knows how long they traveled, how many weeks or months, how many miles they went following the star that lights their way. St. Augustine wrote, "Christ was not born because the stars shone forth, but it shone forth because Christ was born." Or as Dante put it, he said, "God is the love that moves the stars." And these wise men are watching and listening and waiting to hear so they can follow the way there. We can learn something from these men, from their openness, their watchfulness. Following the star, these men, they travel nearly all the way, and they stop in Jerusalem, perhaps thinking that that's where a new king would be born. And they stop to ask King Herod about this new king, and with his own troubling intentions in mind, he summoned the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they were able to point them down the road to Bethlehem. It's interesting, these scribes, these teachers of the law, they could tell the prophecy. They knew what was happening just down the road, and they didn't leave Jerusalem. They stayed right there. They couldn't see. The wise men, they traveled for miles. They were watching, listening. They had eyes to see, ears to hear, but Herod, the scribes, they didn't. There were two men, not so wise men, Pete and Joe, who were out sailing in a boat, and a fierce storm blew in and rain splashed down and the waves were rocking them back and forth and they were desperately going this way and that, trying to keep the boat upright. And above the storm, Pete shouted to Joe. He said, it's at times like this I really wished I'd listened to what my old mom used to say. And Joe asked, why? Well, what did she say? And Pete said, I don't know. I didn't listen. And we are perhaps more like this when it comes to God's voice, God's will for us than we'd care to admit. We have to listen, to pay attention, to watch for God showing the way. God is showing the way. I found a Christmas book on my shelf at home this week called The Forgotten Carols. And I don't know where it came from at all. I forgot about it, obviously. And it was apparently a musical that I've never heard of. But I flipped through the book and I tried to sing through some of the songs. And there was one forgotten carol that was called We Cannot Find Our Way. And it speaks well to the need that we have in this world for a light to shine, for something or someone that will lead the way. And it says, in the song, it says, somewhere beneath the glitter that comes this time of winter, and many souls there is a cry. They may not clearly say it, but in their hearts they pray it, and you can see it in their eyes. And they say, we cannot find our way. We cannot find our way at all. There's so many choices, so many different voices. We cannot find our way at all. But then a little later in the song, toward the end of the song, the lyrics, it says, but three kings found the way, and so can we. There is an element to our story for today that isn't always told. And it's clear why. It doesn't fit neatly into the nativity. It's a darker, more adult piece of the story that really I, in my irresponsibility, kind of wanted to just skip over altogether. But Jesus is a newborn king that's born into a land that already has a king. And the star is lighting the way. The angels announce the good news of great joy. But this isn't such good news to the current king, Herod, if you remember. He says he wants to go to worship the boy, but we know. You may recall Herod's reaction, and it's not worship. It's violence. Rather, it's a death sentence for all the baby boys around. The slaughter of the innocents. It's a horrible story. This is clearly not the warm and tender part of the Christmas story that we want to focus in on. Although it is part of the Christmas story, and it reveals a greater depth to the gift that we're given in Jesus. This is the kind of world that Jesus is born into, the real world, our world. And we don't have to go back very far in our news cycle today to draw some parallels, to see this kind of darkness that you find in this story. But we know that the darkness is what the light makes its way into. Jesus is born into a world that desperately needs him. This is why Jesus came. We need the light that Jesus came to bring to show us the way. It's a precious gift. The wise men followed the star all the way to Bethlehem, where they found the newborn king that they were looking for. And although they had brought gifts to share, first they kneeled down low to worship the king. We can learn something from these men. They were wise enough to know that in this child there was something special and worthy of worship. They had these gifts to share, but now they saw more clearly the gift that Jesus was for the world, and so they bowed down in worship, giving not only gifts but their entire selves to Christ in worship. They bowed down overjoyed. We bow in worship of our Lord with joy and gratitude for the gift that he came to bring us. This is where the light is leading us. This is where the way leads to the Lord. That's when we give ourselves over to God in worship that we can see ourselves as we are, our proper place, our need. We open ourselves to God's direction in our lives, to the life-changing gift that he's come to bring. And God is leading us out of the little bits of worship that we dare to offer more than just our voices, more than our gifts, but our whole selves, to give each moment, our whole lives in worship of the one who is worthy, who came into this world to live and to love and to show us the way. There's a Christmas story that Paul Harvey used to tell about a farmer who just didn't really believe in Christmas. And his wife and kids got the kids ready to go to church Christmas Eve and asked him to come along, but the farmer refused and grumbled, why would I want to get all dressed up in a scratchy suit and go sit in a church with people I don't even like and sing about a God I'm not sure exists? And after the wife and kids left for church, the farmer, he heard a noise in the dining room. And he ran in and saw that a little bird had flown into the dining room window. It hit the window and bounced off and was lying there stunned in the flower bed. And then the man noticed that there was a whole flock of birds that was in the yard, which was unusual for that time of year. Apparently they'd gotten caught in an early snowfall and had to land there in his pasture. And they weren't meant to be out there in the cold, and the farmer knew that if they stayed there, they might freeze to death. And concerned, the farmer tried to lure the birds into his warm barn for shelter. He went out and opened the doors of the barn, but the birds didn't pay any attention. He turned on the light, and he tried to make it warm and inviting, but the birds didn't even notice. He tried making a trail of feed from the inside of the barn all the way out to where they were. He tried chasing them into the barn, but nothing worked. They couldn't see, they didn't understand. And discouraged, the farmer dropped to his knees in the snow, and then it hit him. The only way I can get through to them is to be a bird, he thought. To become like them, one of them, and tell them about the safety and the warmth that rests just on the other side of the barn doors. If only. And suddenly he remembers where his wife and kids are, down at the little church, celebrating the little baby who came into the world, who became like us, one of us, to give us his love and to show us the way. And so he puts on his scratchy suit, drives down the road, and he slips into the pew next to his surprised wife. And then he sings just a little bit louder than all the rest. In the end of the story of the wise men, the very last line, that the scripture says that they offered their gifts, and then they left, and then they went home by another way. They can't go back the same old way. That they're changed. Everything is different now. And this is our invitation, just the same, our challenge, to go home another way, changed because of God's great love for us, to look at this life as a chance to follow God's leading us, to give our whole selves each moment in worship and joy and gratitude for this precious gift. Christ our King. Amen.